Well, the U.S. border invasion is destroying America's biggest cities with crime, rampant crime, taxing city resources, of course, once reserved for people who pay taxes. And then combine that with defunding the police departments, and it's a perfect storm. Chicago is being ripped apart. Even Obama advisor David Axelrod admitted as much this weekend.
You know, whatever you think about what Governor Abbott has done, it was diabolically clever because by shipping these migrants to cities that call themselves now I'm forgetting the phrase, but
sanctuary cities.
Yeah. He has created issue. I come from Chicago. Chicago has been torn apart by this issue. New York has been torn apart by this issue. And suddenly Democrats are engaged in this issue in a different way than they had been. So that has been very effective.
But perhaps no city has had it worse than the Big Apple, America's largest sanctuary city. The great team over at muckraker.com found three massive migrant camps. They're built using taxpayer dollars that were built on prime New York real estate. Watch this.
Since Joe Biden was put in office, hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens have taken refuge in New York City, the largest sanctuary city in the United States. To handle this, numerous illegal alien compounds have been established on what was once prime New York real estate. Muckraker conducted the first ever investigation of three of these compounds.
Anthony Rubin from muckraker.com joins us now, who is exposing these migrant camps. Anthony, welcome to the show. Amazing work here. Thanks for what you're doing.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you for having me on.
So how did you first learn about these migrant camps, and who started building these? How long ago were they built?
These have been around since, honestly, around when Joe Biden was put in office. And they are very expensive. For example, one of them, the Row Hotel, which has been around for years now. It's estimated that that costs anywhere from $500 per day per person. And there's around 5,000 people in there at any given time, roughly speaking. So you can imagine, you know, just how expensive that is. The other one that we went to, or that we saw, was Randall's Island. That, again, estimated to cost around $20 million per month to operate, right? And so this is all funded largely, well, entirely by New York State and the federal government, of course. I guess that's obvious. And yeah, I mean, these things are massive. Between the three that we saw, we're talking, you know, five digits worth of people.
Do we know which department on the federal side has been funding this into the states? Obviously, the states' coffers are being really taxed. We've heard from, you know, New York City Mayor Eric Adams how taxed they are. So do we know what department? Is it coming from the Department of Homeland Security?
Yeah, that's actually a really good question. And, you know, that's actually a fault of mine that I don't have that for you right now. I'm not entirely sure what department that's coming from, but it's split. And, you know, it's split between state and federal. And that's one of the things you keep hearing Mayor Adams talk about. You know, he's like, well, you know, we're going to get help from the state, or we're going to get help from the federal government on this, you know, trying to sort of act like he's lessening the blow to the people of New York, who are really the ones that are getting hurt here. I mean, you know, these are built on, like you said, prime New York real estate. The Row Hotel is one block from Times Square, right? You got homeless Americans that are walking around out there. I can't imagine being a New Yorker. If you're living in Manhattan, you're paying between state and federal and city taxes. At the end of the day, you're paying like 50% of your income in taxes. And you have these people that came over here, have never paid a dime, never contributed to the country. They're living for free and, you know, getting free food and basically, you know, lowering the price of your property and everything else. So that's what's going on. It must be infuriating for people living there.
Yeah, I used to work in New York City. I used to work one block away from the Row Hotel when I worked at Fox News in Midtown Manhattan. And of course, you're paying a city tax to work in the city. Even if you live out in New Jersey or Connecticut or some other place, you're paying that city tax. And of course, then you're also paying $30, I think it is, to come across and use the Lincoln Tunnel or use the Holland Tunnel to come through. You're paying all of these taxes coming and going into New York City. But these individuals, of course, don't have to pay any of that. We do know in other reports that FEMA dollars have been used, you know, Federal Emergency Management Agency money, to set up and support some of these camps and other areas. So one can only imagine where this money is flowing from. But I want to talk about the camps themselves. You obtained this video. And what did you, can you just walk me through what these camps look like? Who's in these camps? Where are these individuals coming from? And what sort of staffing do they have?
Absolutely. So Great question. So what types of individuals? Individuals from all over. Obviously, you know, South Americans for sure, right? You got the Colombians, the Venezuelans, the Ecuadorians for sure. But then you got other ones. There was actually a couple of people that we saw in there from Russia, surprisingly. There were some Chinese in there, which I found interesting because usually the Chinese are more well-funded, right? But, you know, we actually, in this footage saw a Chinese man who was at the Roe Hotel. You know, if you check out Randall's Island, the footage there, it's actually full of men from Africa. We're talking Guinea, Senegal, and some other countries there mixed in, but those were some of the big ones. Morocco was another one. And, you know, those are the kind of people that you're seeing in some of these places. But, you know, depending on where you look, for example, I didn't see in this footage any Africans at the Roe Hotel, but Randall's full of Africans almost entirely.
And it's interesting. Are these individuals coming up on buses that have been provided to them with U.S. taxpayer dollars, or are they migrating into New York City some other way, using some other mechanism? Because we've seen, obviously, Governor Abbott and others, of course, using the buses then to take them to these sanctuary cities. As you heard David Axelrod just talking about, it's been, you know, it's been, as he described it, a diabolical plan. Are they coming that way or through some other mechanism?
Yeah, well, to the best of my knowledge, you know, some of them come up there on their own accord, and some of them, I believe, have their bus tickets funded by whatever charity. You know, they decide basically, here's where I want to go. I want to go to Chicago, or I want to go to New York, and they get sent up there. And because New York City is a sanctuary city, actually by law, a law that was actually recently overturned, which is, I suppose, is actually a good thing for, you know, the people of New York City that are actually paying taxes. But up until that law was overturned, I believe earlier this month or last month in January, basically anybody that came to New York City that was trying to, you know, claim asylum, quote unquote, got to or was, you know, entitled to shelter. And so that's why you had all these people living in these places. And so they would stay for 30 days or 60 days, whenever their time ran out, they could basically just go and reapply again and say, hey, you know, I haven't found a job. You know, I'm going to be out in the streets. I want to reapply to the same shelter or get relocated again. And actually this whistleblower who formerly worked at these places, who worked at the Roe Hotel in Randall's Island, Carlos Arellano, told me that what'll happen is these people will actually get tired of living at a certain place. They'll get tired of living in New York, for example, and they'll say, you know what, I want to go to Chicago. And, you know, the taxpayer will actually have to foot the bill for their bus ticket to go over to Chicago because that's another sanctuary city. It's all paid for.
Can you imagine? You want to just take a vacation, you want to travel the country, and you just call up your local illegal immigration representative and they provide you with a bus ticket or they provide you with a plane ticket and they're ferrying you around the United States at your leisure, whatever you like, no problem, on U.S. taxpayer dollars. It's unbelievable. When you were there, or, you know, the individuals who, you know, been able to obtain this video at these different facilities, these different migrant compounds, I'm curious about the security. So, I mean, I have so many questions about this, Anthony. Like, these guys are they under security? Are they under watch? Can these people come and go from these compounds? Because they have court dates. A lot of them have court dates many years in the future. The idea that we're going to be tracking these individuals, we know where they are, we're monitoring all of their movements. Are we? Do we know who's coming and going in these facilities, and are we tracking them at all?
They can come and go as they please. As far as I can tell, they can leave, they can go work if they want to work off the books, and then they could come back and, you know, have a free place to sleep and free food and all that. Now, as far as the security goes, that's a good question. Security, according to them, this is out of their mouths, they're not allowed to search these people, right? Unless there's something even if there's something obscene, they can't do anything about it. They have to call the police. So, you know, you have people, and they don't even have metal detectors or anything like that. So, you know, there's reports of people walking in there with knives. There's reports of stabbings in these places. There's also reports of security guards that are, again, these are not my claims. These are, you know, this is from people that are on the ground in these facilities that are working there, of these security guards going out and getting stoned on the job and coming back to the job totally stoned and, you know, not really paying attention to anything. And the whole thing's a joke. And so, like I said earlier, though, in the beginning of this question, these people could come and go as they please. And so you can only imagine what may be being brought back and forth in between some of these camps.
You've obviously followed the migrants all the way up from Quito, Ecuador, all the way up through the Darien Gap, all the way into the United States. Your reporting on this has been stellar. I encourage our viewers to go check out the entire report over at muckraker.com about that part of the story. I want to talk about the child trafficking piece of the story. It's something we've been passionate about here on this show to cover and bring light to. And over the past 24 hours, we've seen some video that's gone viral of a U.S. border guard crying, tearfully crying and interacting with these unaccompanied minors because he has to basically turn them over to child traffickers. His hands are tied. I want our viewers to watch this video, and then I want Anthony to comment on it. So, Anthony, when you were at these compounds in New York City, what in the way of children were you seeing here? Unaccompanied minors, and what was the situation or system like for children?
Shelters that we investigated, there's no unaccompanied children there. It was either family units or single adults. But what I will say is this: in New York, what I did do was stop over at LaGuardia Airport. And I was there. I was actually staking out there. Perhaps I shouldn't actually say this on camera because the people that are, you know, moving these children are going to get wise to what's going on here if they're paying attention. But I've already said it. So I was at LaGuardia Airport and staking out there for many hours a day, waiting to see these escorts coming from, you know, different companies like MVM or Southwest Key. And, if you wait there at LaGuardia and you wait for the flights coming in from Texas, you'll see this and you will see them, come with, two kids, three kids, four kids, five kids. Sometimes they hand them off right there at LaGuardia to the sponsor. Literally just hand over the kids, sign some paperwork, hand the kids over. I caught all this. I saw it right in front of me. Or they'll go and they'll load them up into a black van and take off. And that's happening all day at LaGuardia. You know, what's incredible is that, of course, we know, and this is the, I guess, if you want to call it the unofficial number, which is very outdated at this point, but everybody likes to throw on the 85,000 number, right? That's one third of the kids that have gone missing. That's way outdated though. You know, airport staff, they see this every day and they just don't have any idea what's going on. And so when I told them, I said, hey, do you know what you're looking at here? These are unaccompanied minors. A third of them have gone missing. They actually can't believe that I'm telling them this. And they thought I was a nut job until I actually showed them the articles. And then they're like, oh my God, I can't believe this. I had no idea.
Wow. You go to the Denver International Airport, they have signs posted on baggage claim, just warning people about unaccompanied minors and child trafficking. But what are those signs really doing? If these airport employees, the security guards are not empowered to do anything about it.
Right. Yeah, well, it happens right there. You know, the handoffs literally happen right there in the baggage claim. So you could have there's reports of MS-13 picking up these kids, right? Being quote unquote sponsors for these kids. So you could theoretically, and I don't think it's theoretical, I'm sure it's happened, have MS-13 gang members picking up kids at a public airport happening right in front of hundreds of people and nobody has a clue.
Somebody has a clue. They're just not doing anything about it. They're fully aware of what's happening, and they're not doing a damn thing about
it.
I hope that, you know, with the type of journalism that you're doing here and that we're trying to shed light on, that somebody, please, please pay attention to this and put a stop to this. Anthony Rubin and the team over at muckraker.com. We appreciate you joining us, Anthony, as always. Great work. And the full video and the full report on these migrant camps in New York City is available now. You can go check it out on muckraker.com. Thanks again, Anthony.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I really hope you enjoyed watching this video. You know, YouTube thinks that you'll actually like this next video right here. It's personalized based on your own viewing habits. So if you watch the video, please leave a comment. Let us know what you think about it. And we will see you next time, everyone.